right, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will join us here in a moment. Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, later this afternoon. May get to some trivia at some point today with Andy in here with us. And Andy, the background is looking A+, I must say. I mean, it's a pretty quality background. We like to admire those. And Owens is kind of a disaster behind him. Mine's not bad.
What are you talking about?
Well,
Go ahead, Andy.
I was told that there are always two athletes on this show at a time. So I decided to display some of my rep soccer trophies.
Right.
I also have my high school basketball jacket. We were the Risa Midget Champs back
I like
in,
it.
I'm not going to tell you the
Shout
year
because
that
10
was a long
ago.
Time ago.
Shout out.
Yeah, exactly. 10 years ago. And I have my personalized, Felix Potvin painting. That was made to me by David Arrigo, who does actually quite a few goalie masks in the league.
I like
so,
it.
So, yeah.
What's wrong with mine? I got my Whalers thing, my buddy Ed in the middle of it right there.
Why is this a competition, O? Why is it?
I don't know. He's the one that says mine's garbage while he's got a little Geppetto knitted your original six banner. It's awful.
No,
your bookshelf's from a garage sale,
yeah.
And everything else is terrible.
No, I got a little Zamboni down there. I got a couple of tailor-made balls. Yes.
Yeah, well, how old is that bookshelf? Tell me the truth.
It's at least 20 years old. It was a university
it's from
bookshelf.
From a garage sale.
Yeah,
it's a garage
it's not
sale.
Much, but it gets the job done. Listen, this office, I didn't step foot in this office for like three years until
we
I was
got a guy in the line who has the King Daddy topper. Because he's got the full shelf, the unit, the books, the knickknacks, everything's
in place.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. It's a pretty high-quality background. Here's our hockey insider, Darren Dreger. You take pride in that, eh, Dregs?
I do, as a matter of fact. I do. And this is what's bizarre about the cabinetry that I had installed in this house. Now I've got people DMing me or doing whatever it is when you send messages on Instagram, and they're authors. And they want me to put their books on
myself. No way, man.
Okay.
I told Hayes the other day, Darren, and by the way, I need a measurement from you on the bottom part of your shelving because I have to do my own. I've got one coming that's going to be the best one at our network because Sarah and David and everybody's involved, and I'm going to have lit shelving. Lit shelving.
Fancy pants.
So
yeah,
I'm
going
to have a Bobby Mack book, a Jimmy Duthie. Hayes, you don't have a book.
Yeah,
Noodles
no.
has got a book. I'm going to have all types of stuff. So it's going to be the King Daddy topper coming up.
Okay.
Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, Dregs, I mean, obviously there's a lot of chatter about the Maple Leafs and what they're managing to do. They roll through Edmonton, dismantle the Oilers. They're 18-4-2.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a different viewpoint on which team in the division they should maybe be the most concerned with because it's either Edmonton, Montreal, or Winnipeg. Calgary might throw their name in the hat. Like, I'll give them some time. Maybe in a month or so we're talking about them differently. But is there one of those teams that you would circle and say, you know, come the playoffs, if it's a seven-game series, this team will challenge the Leafs maybe better than others?
I feel like it's Winnipeg. And maybe it's obvious because of the quality of goaltending that, you know, we've learned to expect from Connor Hellebuyck. I think Kevin Cheveldayoff wants to do a little bit more work to his defensive core, even though that's next to impossible, you know, trying to make trades in the pandemic and, you know, they're a cap team and then everything that they've got up front, you know, Winnipeg can play a couple of different styles, you know, from that heavier game that we like to talk about going into the playoffs and, you know, they can swap punches with you offensively as well. I like the look of the Winnipeg Jets. I know you guys watch a ton of hockey. I'm not sure how much you've watched of late, but there's a good feel about that team. And, you know, not to switch it back to Toronto, but I liked listening to Mitch Marner talk about the positivity around the Maple Leafs. And even when they faced adversity, they found a way to focus more on the positive than the negative. And I get that same vibe from the Winnipeg Jets. You know, last year, up until the pause, Mark Scheifele didn't look like he was having a lot of fun on a lot of different nights. Even though the points were still there, he just didn't look like he was happy. He looked surly more often than not. And he seems to have changed that outlook and that attitude. And likewise with Blake Wheeler and some of the other pieces there. I think Winnipeg is going to be formidable in the second half.
Darren, we were talking earlier, and I mentioned I don't see a ton of juggernauts in the National Hockey League right now. back in the day with San Jose, L.A., Anaheim, yeah. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Chicago. I just don't see that type of threat. So I see four or five real quality teams that have an opportunity to win. Could any of the GMs of those four or five teams, which we all know who they are, could they be? Can one of them be a Jimmy Rutherford and get ahead of the game and be active?
They better get going soon, though. You know, again, just because of COVID-19, and I don't get the sense the Canadian government is going to lift its 14-day quarantine anytime soon. And now we're inside 6 weeks from April 12th and the trade deadline, and that is a legit factor. I talked to a bunch again today, General Masters, who are saying, look, you know, you guys are probably making more calls than we are right now. And it's not because they lack interest. Every general manager, especially those that believe they're a contending team, you know, Val Dubas for one, we know he wants to add another piece or a couple of pieces. We know this. How difficult is that going to be? You know, and to steal Jimmy's normal routine, it makes a ton of sense to get your work done early this year just because of all the restrictions and everything that you're going to have to go through. So if we're going to see trade activity, big if, capital letters, IF, I think it has to happen in the next couple, 3 weeks.
Well, Jags, I kind of want you to look a little bit, you know, even further ahead than trade deadline, because I know that's the big one, right? If you can get guys in and quarantine and everything. But have you heard of any plans that the NHL is at least putting together just in case the Canadian team that comes out of the North Division can't play at home? I mean, I know we're looking at June, right? But just kind of what's been the story there?
Well, you're right. And I think Tara LeBrun is going to talk a little bit more about that, Andy, tonight on Insider Trading. I mean, the league has to be looking at all kinds of contingency options, right? Like, I don't know if you go to a hybrid bubble, but maybe almost a neutral site game. And it would make a lot of sense, I think, that your Canadian teams, those top four, would potentially relocate to an American city, wherever that happens to be. I don't, you know, I talked to one NHL club that is in the mix right now for a playoff spot, Canadian team that is, executive earlier today, and he said that they've had no conversation with the NHL about that. But common sense tells me that they have to consider all of those scenarios. Now, there's some optimism based on what Prime Minister Trudeau has been talking about, you know, with additional vaccine flooding, you know, into North America. They may be able to get the vaccination process done well in advance. But that still doesn't take us, I don't think, into May or June. So I think the National Hockey League has to continue to look at those options.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they huddled up and they went into, you know, one market. Let's say it's Vegas. That's the one that always comes to mind. You send the Final Four to Vegas. You know by then they'd be filling that building up. And I could tell you, if the Maple Leafs are in that Final Four and Leaf fans can go down there and buy a ticket, there will be a lot of fans flying down there, and they'd be more than happy to do the two-week quarantine.
What if it isn't a bubble where all of the teams are in one venue? You know, maybe Toronto just steals another team's building, a non-playoff team's building, or Edmonton or Winnipeg, you know, the four Canadians.
Whoever gets there, yeah.
Yeah. There are so many balls in the air. You know, it's hard to pinpoint what is actually going to happen because they don't know what's going to happen. But if they learned anything in preparing for the return to play, which was pretty successful, I think we'd agree with that, it was that you have to be able to make decisions swiftly and then act almost immediately. So I think that there's probably a whiteboard in the commissioner's office that has about 15 different scenarios on it. And when it gets to a place on the calendar where they've got to make that decision, then they'll make it and they'll move accordingly.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So the league announced this morning Alex Ovechkin fined $5,000, which is the limit, for spearing Trent Frederick. And I was thinking about this morning, and maybe it's more about the fact that we're further removed from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, but I'm a little bit surprised that a guy like Frederick would even go at Ovi the way that he did. And I'm not surprised that Ovi would say, I'll happily take $5,000 to send you a message, because I don't think anyone would do that to Lemieux, and I don't think anyone would do it to Gretzky. But if they
guaranteed himself a fight every time he plays Washington.
And you know what? quite frankly, that should be the case. And you can call me a Neanderthal or whatever, and I understand the game is in a different place today. Who the hell is Trent Frederick to drop his gloves with Alex Ovechkin?
Yeah, like, right. I agree.
It's outrageous. Mm-hmm. And Ovi will pay that in cash. $5,000 to send a message, don't come close to me, and you shouldn't. You're a fourth liner.
Under the ashtray money, that is, Brian.
Yeah, it's nothing, man. I mean, and that would hurt, too. Like, he got him. He got him pretty good.
He's digging that cash out of the cushions in his living room.
Right.
I mean, that is not an issue for Ovechkin even a little bit.
No, it's not. But you know what I'm saying, Dregs. Like back in the day, 100%. You know, like the idea of, okay, you play tough on these guys. I'm not saying don't hit them, don't challenge. Yeah. But when he ran Ovechkin into the boards, Ovi got up, wasn't happy, drops his gloves, and then he was giving him cross checks, basically saying, let's go. Again, like a second time you challenge Ovi. That to me, it's like, are we not in a position where Ovechkin is considered a legend of the game where you don't do that? You know, maybe I'm out of line, but...
No, you're not out of line. I didn't like the entire scenario, to be fair. I'm not sure why, to O's point, somebody with the Washington Capitals didn't jump in well in advance of that and tune Trent Frederick up, or at least try to. You know, for it to get to that point, I think I'd be annoyed if I'm Peter Laviolette or I'm Alex Ovechkin. But in saying that, and this is what you guys probably aren't going to agree with me, I think Ovechkin should have got a one or a two game suspension for that.
That was more than just a little spear in the pills, Dregs.
He made eye contact. There was like serious eye contact before it happened too.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. That was. Yeah, I'm with you. I hear it, but.
And they never, like, they almost never suspend for that kind of thing, right? It's always a fine for the spear, even though, I mean, everybody can appreciate how much that would hurt. And how much damage could have been done. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I played Bush League hockey, but I think of Brendan Shanahan's shoulder pads. Remember, he wore the same shoulder pads for like, what, 15, 16 years? Chris Galios, all those old guys. Well, you know, what did their jocks look like? Like, I'm pretty sure they weren't like perfectly fit. And, you know, I mean, you have good coverage in that area. I understand it. It's a necessity. But it's probably the same jock that his buddy's been wearing for the last 10 years, for all I know. I mean, how much coverage could have been there?
I could tell you it's not a full wraparound. Like, it's not, there's only so much it can do for you. But I'm not an insider when it comes to jocks in 2021. So I'll leave that to you and insider trading tonight, Dregs. You try to figure out that detail.
Do the jock report, Darren.
The jock report.
We need it. But yeah, listen, he got him, man, like that. And I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with a game or two, and I get it. It's just I think people are going to look at Ovi and say, "How dare you? That's not the way we play." No. Right. We don't do the other thing. We don't. Trent Frederick, who's been in the league for 30 games, doesn't challenge Ovechkin.
Dude, the thing
fights.
Is, Brian, if you ask Frederick right now, he's just the new brand of a tougher guy in Boston who's everybody's loving what he's doing. Yeah. And he wouldn't think twice of what he did last night. He'd say, I'd do it the same all over again.
Well, he might. He might. And maybe it speaks to where we're at, that he can get away with it, quote unquote. Yeah. I just think of our buddy Kelly Chase and how Chaser would have responded.
Oh, my God. Frederick would be out of the lineup for 6 weeks right now.
Yeah.
And out of the league.
Is a transition of where we're going. And I personally think it's something that we should keep. I don't need to. I'm not saying the aftermath and the craziness. I'm saying Frederick should know Ovi's not a guy I do that to. Like, there was some honor in that. Ovi is a top 10 player legend. You don't do that to him, is what I'm saying.
I agree.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where it goes, because that, I'll tell you what, if those two teams meet in a best of seven, that could be old school Boston, Washington. There is a lot of big boys attitudes on those teams. And how awkward was it, the Chara, like, standing ovation with no one in the building?
Stupid.
How weird was that?
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
You need the theatrics. Like, if you're pulling that off, it's Mark Stone or somebody who's not afraid to make fun of the fact that there's nobody in the building, right? And now in Vegas, they allow some people in there, so I guess it's a little bit different. But, you know, I understand the league and the teams are wanting to celebrate an iconic figure in Zdeno Chara, but I don't know, wait for a healthier time. He doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. He's probably going to play another season. So they could have waited, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. Have a great night. Oh, we'll see you later tonight.
Oh, yeah. You guys are on the panel tonight at 10 o'clock. Oh, puck drop.
I'll tell you what. Tomorrow.
Oh,
I'll
Morty be Seinfeld. You are in big trouble.
No, I'm all, you know that the day after any kind of late activity working, I'm useless. That's why I take personal days, because of my, I can't handle it.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but this is going to be a late one. The panel, 10 o'clock.